Hello again. We've got more to say, amazingly, here after being on the radio for the last 3 days talking about all things NFL draft. Now we're back here recording the podcast. You'll be able to hear this on DenverBroncos.com. Probably tomorrow, I think, is when I'll go ahead and post it, but recording it right now before we get out of here. I'm Andrew Mason of DenverBroncos.com and Orange and Blue 760. That's Ryan Edwards, who somehow has 20 minutes more left in him, and we were calculating it. How many hours were we on the air over the last few days?
Yeah, you of course, did a little bit more work with Andy and Tyler in the middays, so if I'm going to give you credit for all of that, and I am, I think you did 26 hours, and I did somewhere in the neighborhood of 23.
Wow.
On air.
No wonder my voice is a little bit, my throat's a little bit sore, and my voice is starting to go, but we got a little bit more left. I'm counting on my 5-year-old daughter, Charlotte, not wanting her daddy to talk very much on Sunday because I simply need to rest. Don't make me yell. Don't make me talk. Let's just have a fun day. Go to the playground. Go play with some other kids. Maybe go to a bounce place or something. We'll see. But here we are looking back at the Broncos' 2018 NFL draft. 6 offensive players, 4 defensive players, starting with Bradley Chubb all the way through David Williams. Let's just start with the overarching theme of these picks, which we discussed in the last hour or so.
There are a few overarching themes, but definitely character guys, leaders, guys that were captains, all of those things, guys were 4-year players. Mm-hmm. You know, for the most part, not all of them, but for the most part, you checked off many of those, if not all of those boxes for all of these players. Obviously, a focus on improving the offensive side of the ball. Spending a high draft pick on Cortland Sutton, Royce Freeman in the 3rd round. You get Deshaun Hamilton, another wide receiver, a guy that's a slot receiver, one of the best slot receivers in the country. Yeah. You also added Troy Fumagalli, who's a bit of a project at tight end, but a guy that could contribute this year, no question about it. And then, you know, what I think is fascinating about this draft is there's a lot of people probably thought offensive line would be a huge focus.
Yep.
There's a lot of people that probably thought quarterback was going to be a focus, and maybe even interior defensive line, considering Derek Wolfe coming off injury and what's happening with Adam Gotsis. And really, none of those things were addressed. Everything else was addressed. And yet, at the end, I feel really like this is a very strong class if everybody meets the expectations that we currently have on them.
A couple comments. First of all, one fan saying, pretty solid draft, in my opinion. I tend to agree. It's got the potential to be more than solid. I think it could be outstanding, depending on how things go. Couple of questions about Shane Ray. We're just going to deviate to that for a bit because, of course, the Broncos took Bradley Chubb number 5 overall in the first round. But, you know, Chubb's going to work on the strong side, and that means he's going to be in the linebacker room. Shaq Barrett's over there, and also Shane Ray is over there. What does this mean for Shane Ray? The Broncos have a May 3rd deadline on picking up the 5th-year option on Shane Ray's contract. What does this mean for him? I mean, if you're just doing the calculus of the roster, you got Von Miller with his contract. You're going to have Bradley Chubb, who's on a rookie deal, but a number 5 overall rookie deal. Shaq Barrett's contract will be expiring. He's on a 1-year RFA tender. Shane Ray might find himself not getting the 5th-year option in a few days.
I think that's very possible. The addition of Bradley Chubb puts that more in doubt. I think last week before they signed Bradley Chubb, before they drafted Bradley Chubb, we have the anticipation that they'd probably pick it up. Mm-hmm. Because, again, you can move off of that anytime you want. It's still possible. But I do think that there's an opportunity this year, this season, for one of those guys to emerge. And that's where a decision is going to be made. Now, they probably could have considered, and maybe they did consider, trading one of them on draft night over the course of the weekend, acquiring picks, you know, whatever they ended up wanting to do. But it looks to me like they really like the fact that they have 4 pretty solid pass rushers right now, and they're okay letting some of that play out. You know, the Von Miller's the future, Bradley Chubb's the future. What does it mean for Shaq and Shane? And in this case, I think they kind of want to see one of them emerge.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's going to happen through just competition.
Who is better, Shaq Barrett or Shane Ray?
That's a tough one. Tough point. I'm a CSU guy, yes. So just understand that. I think there's incredible value as an undrafted player for Shaq Barrett to see him climb the way he has and play at the elite level. And you know the Broncos have a lot of faith in him, a lot of interest in keeping him here. They've had opportunities to move him. They never done it. So for me, With the fact that it would be $9.5 million on the fifth-year option for Shane Ray, I also think Shane Ray's contract would just be elevated as a first-round pick.
Right.
I think there's more value. And again, nothing against Shane. He got to have a double-digit sack season. I'll say that I think there's more value with Shaq because I think you could negotiate a more fair contract.
And also, Shaq is a little stouter against the run than Shane Ray. Now, Shane Ray had the 8-sack season back in 2016, has a lot of speed off the edge. Shaq may be a better base package outside linebacker. Shane Ray may be better a sub-package guy. Jeff Holland, and he's a guy the Broncos have reportedly agreed to terms with as an undrafted free agent. And a couple of fans have just asked us on Periscope, because if you're listening to the podcast audio-wise, thank you as always, but we're also doing this live on Periscope here on Saturday evening as the Broncos wrap up the draft. Jeff Holland out of Auburn, all SEC pick, 10 sacks this past year. You could keep five edge guys, and if you keep five edge guys, Jeff Holland could find his way onto the 53-man roster. All SEC pick last season. Very surprised that he went undrafted. Downright shocked that he went undrafted. So I think a nice little coup for the Broncos. But does that affect the situation with Shaq and Shane? I don't think in the short term. I think maybe when you get to the conversation March of next year as to who you're retaining.
That's exactly what it is. And I want to echo for just a moment how surprised I was when you said he was out there and when you saw his name flash up across the screen. Both of us kind of did a bit of a double take on that. But no, I mean, you're bringing in guys that you've liked that happen to be out there. There's a bit of a mad scramble. Even as we speak, there's a mad scramble happening for a lot of these players. But Jeff Holland is a good player, and he's a guy that can come in and compete. And as you are trying to see how your team is expecting to look in 2018 and beyond, competition is only going to make him better. I know it sounds cliche, but that's exactly what Jeff Holland is.
Question asking, why did Jeff Holland go undrafted? I think a big part of it may be the relative lack of experience. He only started one season at Auburn his senior year. That may have something to do with it. The 40 time at the combine, 4.79 seconds, 249 pounds. Compare that to, say, Bradley Chubb, who is 20 pounds heavier and ran 0.14 seconds better in the 40. I think that has a little something to do with it. Hey, we're talking about tenths of a second, but when you're in the calculus of separating a lot of these guys, that's the kind of thing that matters. And also, Jeff Holland is a very raw player, and I think part of that is because it took him so long to get onto the field at Auburn in a starting role. Still, I've seen raw guys that didn't have the best timing numbers but had production. I've seen them get drafted, so I think it's a steal for the Broncos. I think that's how you have to look at it. But, yeah, very curious that he went undrafted.
Yeah, and we'll see a multitude of guys. Even as the draft concluded, we sat here thinking, boy, there's just so many guys that I still like. Puna Ford's another guy that we both liked from the Shrine Game and Senior Bowl that went undrafted. JT Barrett, we thought, had a chance, just a chance, from Ohio State to get drafted. He went undrafted as well. And I liked, by the way, Chris Harris, throwing a little shade. I think Adam Schefter had put out a tweet of all the undrafted players that have had success, and he put like an LOL, also add Chris Harris kind of thing, and he's absolutely right. And then C.J. Anderson, by the way, also quoted that tweet and said, C.J. Anderson, the Broncos have done such a wonderful job finding and evaluating undrafted free agent talent. They actually might find a bit of a diamond in the rough in Holland.
Yeah, someone said, watched Holland in the SEC, was an Arkansas fan, watched him play against his Hogs, and loved what Jeff Holland did. And that's the other thing. A highly productive player in a highly competitive conference like the SEC. For whatever reason, Jeff Holland ultimately went undrafted. I think it's a steal of a pickup for the Broncos. And another pickup that I like from the undrafted pool for the Broncos, local kid, South High School, Philip Lindsay, South High School, then, of course, on to CU. Very productive there. We saw him down at the Shrine Game in St. Pete back in January. Had a good week down there. For someone of his size, he is incredibly fearless. He will go between the tackles if you need him to, and there's absolutely no hesitation like you'd sometimes expect from a smaller back, and yet he has that explosiveness in space. Philip Lindsay, I think he could be competing with D'Angelo Henderson for a spot as a situational sub-package back on the back end of the roster.
Really quick, Puna Ford just went to the Seattle Seahawks, so That's where he ended up going. But no, you are 100% right about Philip Lindsay, and he is Colorado. And even when we had a chance to talk to him, just the emotion, the excitement pouring out of him through the phone. This is a guy that, of course, the expectations were he should have been drafted. I mean, he really should have been drafted. You and I thought he'd go in the sixth round, possibly seventh round. To go undrafted, I guess, was a bit of a surprise, but to know that he still became a Bronco and he's still going to have a chance to get on the field and compete, that's very exciting. And I think if you ask Philip Lindsay, he wouldn't have it any other way. It's basically the way he's gone about his entire young career. He's had to grind. He's had to prove a lot of people that he could be a run between the tackles kind of running back, that he can be anything you ask him to be, catching the ball out of the backfield and being a physical runner. He's done it all. And now as a college free agent, he gets to do a new challenge, and I think he's going to love it.
Here's what's interesting. Looking at the Broncos running back room right now, you've got three rookies: Royce Freeman, third round pick; David Williams, seventh round pick, who was really productive down the stretch of the season for Arkansas. That was his year as a graduate transfer coming over from South Carolina, averaged 6.5 yards per carry in the last six games of Arkansas season last year. And he really wasn't a regular starting running back throughout his career, but that productivity and being 229 pounds, a bigger back, that gives him a look. I mean, I think that's why you're talking about David Williams being a seventh round pick, and Philip Lindsay, a smaller back, being an undrafted guy. But it's good to have them both there for the Broncos. Three rookies and then two veterans in Devontae Booker and D'Angelo Henderson. That's going to be one of the most fun competitions to watch this summer, right?
It really is, and I'm glad you point that out. You got different styles, and it's good to have different styles in that room. But in the draft, they clearly had a style they were looking for, and you're replacing C.J. Anderson. Nobody else on your team was like C.J. Anderson, so you had to get some bigger backs in there in order to do that. And honestly, Royce Freeman, there's a bit of a comp there. I think he's a little faster than CJ, but you know,
good, always said
good hands out of the backfield, a very smart running back. He's going to fit in here very nicely, competing for the starting job. And we had a chance to interview Royce Freeman on Orange Blue 760, and I kind of thought maybe he'd have a little edge, a little bit of chip. You know, hey, he's a very productive running back that went in the third round, and you saw other running backs going much higher. Not at all. He embraced the challenge, kind of like we just talked with Philip Lindsay. He embraced the challenge. He likes the running back room. Even when he talked to the media, said, hey, I think it's a really fun, interesting group, and I can't wait to get in there and compete. We both think, though, that Devontae Booker is likely to get the first crack at starting.
Yeah, and it's an opportunity that he's waited for, and we'll see what he does with it. Of course, he did start during the 2016 season. Didn't go all that well, but you're hoping things go better. He's more mature now. He's grown from that experience. And the other thing, be healthy. I think Devontae Booker might have had that breakthrough last year if he was healthy. It didn't happen. He missed all of training camp, did not return until early in the regular season. By that time, you were looking at C.J. Anderson really establishing himself as number one back. I don't think the Broncos will add a veteran to the running back room. And as a couple people brought up here on our live Periscope broadcast that we have, I don't think they're going to add another veteran tight end.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to add a veteran receiver. Some suggested, hey, Eric Decker, that was something that I think a lot of fans wanted to see. I don't think there's room for Eric Decker. Look, you have veteran presences in Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, and you really want to see one of these young guys emerge. Tight end is a little more interesting because it is a young room. You've got Troy Fumagalli. You've got Jake Butt, who basically is a rookie, although he was in meetings and getting the mental side of the game down last year and was on hand for practices, a lot of mental reps, but he's basically a rookie. But you have Jeff Heirman in there, and I think what they would like to see going forward is they would like to see at least one of those young guys emerge. And then Jeff Heirman, he is a veteran, and then Austin Traylor is a proven blocker. The fascinating thing will come, and they've got a couple other guys in the mix as well that come back from last year. The fascinating thing will be how many tight ends stick on the 53, three or four, because you have to assume that Jake Butt and Jeff Heirman, Jake Butt and Troy Fumagalli, if healthy, are going to be on the 53-man roster. Jeff Heirman, he should be there, but look, he's in the last year of his contract. Austin Traylor, I think he'll be there because he does something very well, and that's block.
And also, you got to factor in your fullback. What role does the fullback have? And typically speaking, usually if you're going to keep three tight ends, you can have room for that fullback. If you're only keeping four tight ends, then you might not. So that's a bit of a factor, too.
And where is this offense going formationally with Bill Musgrave as the new offensive coordinator? Of course, he took over late last season, but having an offseason to put in his offense and also get used to working with Case Keenum. And Case Keenum had a lot of success throwing to tight ends and slot in the slot receiver in Minnesota last year. That was part of what made him successful.
Look, and I like Andy Janovich. I'd love to see him stay with this team, but you're right. The team, and specifically the offense, are going through a bit of a culture change. Mm-hmm. And you do wonder, things that worked for this team just a few years ago, even 2 years ago, are now starting to be shifted.
You're basically starting again with a new offense and with a new quarterback in Case Keenum. Case Keenum, I think, has to be very happy about how this draft unfolded, especially on offense, because you want to upgrade slot receiver. You've got options there. I think Deshaun Hamilton is a pure slot receiver. He's a little bigger than some other slots, but he has the route running capability
Absolutely.
To do it. That's, you know, there was a clip the NFL Network showed right after the Broncos drafted Deshaun Hamilton, and he's against Michael Joseph of Dubuque during Senior Bowl week, and he gets this little move with his head, mm-hmm. and he gets Joseph kind of flying. He has a technical and route-running acumen and the ability to sell his fakes that is well above what you see for receivers coming into the NFL for the first time. I think that's going to help him out tremendously in that mix. Carlos Henderson and Isaiah McKenzie, You know, better put your big boy pants on, because it's going to be a heck of a competition. And someone that you know at wide receiver, a name that is familiar to diehard Broncos fans, could be Henderson, third-round pick last year. McKenzie, of course, punt returner last year. Jordan Taylor, who's coming back, but he's recovering mm-hmm. from two hip surgeries. And right now is the first-team punt returner. There are other options there, including McKenzie and potentially Deshaun Hamilton. But a receiver that you know as a diehard Broncos fan is probably not going to be on that 53, because they are almost certainly not keeping seven receivers on the 53.
Yeah, competition for touches, competition for roster spots, there's no question. You imagine the draft picks will get a little bit of weight there. But the fact is, Jordan Taylor has proven himself as very valuable, very consistent on this team. And again, another guy that's kind of fought through adversity. As long as he's healthy, he's gonna. I'm gonna put him on the roster at this point, and then you kind of have to figure out between Carlos Henderson and Isaiah McKenzie. Both of those guys are on notice. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. And really, right now, I'd say Isaiah McKenzie is the one that should be really the most concerned about what happened in the draft with the Broncos, only because of the way his season. But again, Carlos Henderson hasn't had a great start either yet.
Yeah, and Isaiah McKenzie's got to improve his ball security, and it'll be interesting to see how the overall look of returner factors in. Do you want someone who can do kickoffs and punts, or are you looking for one person to fill both roles? Mm-hmm. Can Carlos Henderson potentially become a punt returner, because he was working on kickoffs last year? And for all of Carlos Henderson's struggles on offense, he looked very good in practice on kickoff returns, showing that straight line speed. So if he could figure some things out on punt return, which is a harder discipline to master than kickoff return, it's a different element. You got more guys around you. It's a little more chaotic. But if he could master that and make himself into an all-round returner, not just a kickoff returner, and the same could go for Isaiah McKenzie on kickoffs in addition to punts, that may determine which one of them is left standing at the end.
Agreed.
If only one of them is still on the roster.
That was one of the questions we had towards the end of our last hour covering the draft. What the competitions you're most excited about? Wide receiver.
What if Philip Lindsay's in the mix on returns, too?
As he
could be.
He really should be, and he was at the Shrine Game.
A couple of fans brought that up here on Periscope.
Yep, he was at the Shrine Game returning punts. And if you're Philip Lindsay, if Tom McMahon says, I'd like to see you at punt return, you run. Yeah, I mean, you sprint as fast as you can. You be as good as you can, because that's a way he makes the 53-man roster.
I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask anyway. Your favorite draft pick of the Broncos 10-man class?
Oh, well, I mean, there's so many to choose from. I'll tell you what. You really have to. For me, it's going to be Deshaun Hamilton almost immediately, because I like where you got him. I like knowing that you got one of the top three slot receivers in the draft. Christian Kirk being the number one, Deshaun Hamilton, in my opinion, being number two.
And then Braxton Berrios down at number three going to New England.
Of all places. when we saw him out at the Senior Bowl, is that not like the perfect place for Braxton Berrios to be going?
Start the Welka comparisons.
But, I mean, I also love the Courtland Sutton pick. And we were on draft night when he was drafted, and that's a guy that we brought up on First and 10 quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Courtland Sutton, in my opinion, is probably could be arguably the best wide receiver in this draft class. Yeah. It's not a very deep wide receiver class. At least there wasn't a ton of top-end talent. I think there's question marks about some of these guys.
Yeah.
I'm not as big a Calvin Ridley guy, so it's easier for me to make that argument. I liked Christian Kirk for sure, but again, we talk about value, getting Deshaun Hamilton in the fourth round versus Christian Kirk in the second.
Yes.
Value is so much better. But for Courtland Sutton, just the range of how good he really could be at 6'4", 216 pounds, I think to myself when I watch him, Demaryius Thomas, everybody thinks that, but he really does. The way he manipulates his body, the way he turns things, the acrobatic catches that he makes.
The body control, and that's
unbelievable.
The basketball background really helps him in
but
that
But just the upside
well.
The upside of him as an understanding that, hey, this year there's going to be times he can make plays, but what you're hoping for is something next year and the year beyond that, and that's with Courtland Sutton. So, yeah, I think I'm going to point to the wide receivers right there as my two favorite picks.
Love them both. I'm also going to go with Troy Fumagalli, the tight end in the fifth round out of Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Yes. Well, the thing about Wisconsin tight ends is they know how to block. And actually, you can go back, look at Owen Daniels, and he could block, but he was also an excellent route runner. Owen Daniels played his last NFL season with the Broncos, but he was a Wisconsin guy. They have a strong tradition at the position. Fumagalli is one of the best that they've produced. Yet not the fastest guy. I think Jake Butt's going to be someone who is going to have a little more of a downfield threat, but you know, you could send Troy Fumagalli out on like a 6-7 yard out, and he's going to be crisp, and he's going to get separation because he's another guy like Deshaun Hamilton is an outstanding route runner, and those Wisconsin tight ends, you know they know how to block. Austin Traylor is here. He's more of a blocking tight end, but he's good at that. With Troy Fumagalli and Jake Butt, the tight ends that you took in the fifth round the last 2 years, these are guys that can line up in line and also in space. And something that John Elway talked about last year in the pre-draft press conference was that the kind of tight end that they wanted was someone who could do both, not someone who was an Evan Engram type who you're only going to operate with in space. They don't want to reveal too much when they're in the huddle and putting a lineup out there. They want their tight ends to be versatile. They want them to block, be involved in the running game, as well as in the passing game with Jake Butt and Troy Fumagalli. These are two guys that could be interchangeable. You can go with two tight end formations.
Yes.
And they can both go out and they can get open. And Jake Butt, I think, could be an outstanding red zone target. Again, based on the quality of his route running, you watch him back at Michigan and the way he'll shake guys. And both of them don't need a lot of space to make plays as well. But they can get in there and they can block. You know, it would not surprise me at all, Ryan, if at some point, maybe by 2019, if Butt and Fumagalli develop, that maybe your base offense is a two tight end formation. And you go back to 2012 when Peyton Manning was in his first season here, the base package for the Broncos was two tight ends with Joel Dreesen and Jacob Tammy.
Or that was Jacob Tammy.
Julius Thomas was a year later.
He was a year later. Yeah. John Elway loves his Big Ten tight ends.
Yes.
between those two guys and Jeff Heuermann.
And Traylor.
Oh, jeez. And Traylor.
Yeah.
Wow. What a room.
Big Ten tight ends all over the place. So, yeah, I love the Fumagalli pick. And also, happy for Sam Jones.
Yeah, absolutely. Sam Jones, that's good. You know, good developmental interior guy. Local guy, all that good. I definitely want to make sure we do give a shout out. We got a comment on Periscope just a second. Right. Josie Jewell is actually a pretty good pick.
Yes.
They were looking for an inside linebacker, a guy that has a lot of experience. I don't think he is an extreme upside player. We both like Shaq Griffin there as a possibility, a target there at 106. But really, Josie Jewell is going to be good here, and he's going to fit right in. They needed an interior linebacker, and that's exactly what he is.
Yeah, you expected an inside linebacker coming in at some point in the draft, and Vance Joseph had said, hey, they needed to add players maybe even earlier than they have. Mm-hmm. Usually the Broncos have added late-round inside linebackers, and they did get one in Keyshawn Bieria out of Washington, a really high-character player, a good leader, the 40 time, the time speed, it's not quite there, but he can make some plays. Look, I can recall Danny Trevathan, another guy who had slow time speed, and he turned into a player. So there's a model for that working. Bieria is about 230 pounds. Josie Jewell is 234 pounds. These aren't bigger guys. You're counting on them to do some things in coverage. Jewell is really interesting because the time speed does not match up with the film at all. He looks like he's moving and able to keep up with tight ends. And you cited a stat from Pro Football Focus on Josie Jewell that I think is worth noting.
Absolutely, yeah. He had 55 targets this season, didn't give up a single touchdown.
Wow.
Not one on all 55
Now,
targets
how many catches did he allow in general?
I can pull that up here in a second. But, yeah, the 55 targets, not one touchdown this year. That's a pretty impressive stat. And you're looking for coverage, linebackers, that's exactly what
The other thing is Josie Jewell, he's covering tight ends, he's covering running backs, so he is really crucial in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why that stat that you cite about the touchdowns matters. One says Sam Jones was curious for many, thought the familiarity was why the Broncos picked him. The familiarity didn't hurt. Don't forget, not only is he local, so the Broncos can get an extra look at him, but also he's been working out over at 6-0 Strength, which is run by our Orange and Blue 760 host, Matt McChesney. Listen in with Brandon Cristal 1-3 every weekday. And McChesney has a lot of the Broncos offensive linemen in his gym on a regular basis for workouts. Ron Leary, Matt Paradis, just among others that have been in that room. Connor McGovern, swears by the work of Matt McChesney. And Sam Jones was over in that gym doing a lot of his pre-draft training. And as a result, he gets to be around some Broncos. He gets to be around Connor McGovern. And I think that's the kind of thing that sort of lays the groundwork for the Broncos having extra intel, because when you have those players that are seeing Sam Jones work out and get ready for the draft, you can find out, hey, what kind of guy is he? What kind of worker is he?
Mm-hmm.
You can see what's on the film, but maybe the Broncos got a little bit more information on Sam Jones than other teams had from their guys working out with McChesney, and that led to the pick. Someone says Sam Jones, practice squad?
Would make a lot of sense.
Would make a lot of sense. I think he's right there on the fringe of the practice squad in the 53.
But they needed an interior offensive line. They did need an interior offensive line, so we could see because of Max Garcia.
Last year of his contract, and of course Max Garcia, barring injury, will not be the left guard. Ron Leary is going to be the left guard back at his natural position, and I think that's going to unleash him a little bit. Connor McGovern right now slotted as the right guard. Max Garcia looking at being a swing interior backup, but he's got some competition. Sam Jones will provide competition. Billy Turner could also play right tackle. He's going to be in that mix. No offensive tackle in the draft. Worried about that? I am not all that worried about it. First of all, you do have Garrett Bowles. He is your left tackle. You're going to put him out there this year. You want to see if he can get better in year two. On the right side, Billy Turner can be a backup. They still have hopes for Menelik Watson, who is still in the mix. They would like to at least see him develop as a swing guy. Jared Veldier is going to start. The guy who's under the radar, we've talked about him. Elijah Wilkinson,
Cyrus Kwanjo are guys that are still on this roster. And that's what you see in this draft is the Broncos aren't worried about the offensive line, not worried about the depth, not worried about the starters. Mm-hmm. They felt confident. Like we'd been saying on First and 10 for a little while, the confidence level of the offensive line is actually pretty high, and it's reflected here in the draft.
Well, I think Case Keenum being in here is going to make that offensive line a lot better because of his pocket presence and his ability to get rid of the ball and his ability to step up in the pocket and not drift in the pocket, something that had been a problem. And before we go, we got to touch on quarterback.
Yep.
Someone says, really? I don't know what that's really to, but yes, really.
Well, maybe it's
probably
it's
about the offensive line.
Yeah.
And, I know that there may not be a lot of public confidence in the offensive line. I get that. It has struggled. But you look at what the Broncos have invested in the O-line in the last year or so. They bring back Matt Paradis, of course, a restricted free agent, but also the big contract to Ron Leary. He's back at his natural position, expecting to be better. You're expecting Garrett Bowles to be better in year two. Jared Veldier should stop the turnstile of guys working at right tackle and then right guard. Look, the Broncos clearly have high hopes for Connor McGovern going into year three, who started at the end of last year and looked pretty solid filling in there Ron Leary was injured. So I think you're counting on the offensive line simply getting better, and they're also expecting that reshuffling the coaching responsibilities, having Sean Kugler focus on the interior O-linemen and Chris Strasser focus on the tackles, particularly the development of Garrett Bowles, is going to help that group.
Agreed. So, well said.
Before we go, quarterback, because quarterback play does affect the offensive line. I think better presence in the backfield would have helped the O-line last year. So, Case Keenum, clearly the starter. We know this. Mm-hmm. The Broncos didn't draft a quarterback. They're not going to sign an undrafted quarterback. So, it's Case Keenum, Paxton Lynch, and Chad Kelly. And one of the most interesting things that John Elway said as post-draft press conference is that Chad Kelly will compete for the number two job with Paxton Lynch.
What they didn't say, and we'll have a chance to talk about this a little bit more in the offseason, is how many quarterbacks they're keeping. They said there's competition for the backup, but they didn't say they're keeping three. Mm-hmm. So what I think that for me – now, I would keep three.
I would, too.
But some teams opt with two. That's not unheard of. And especially if you've got extra wide receiver, if you've got a fullback, if you've got different positions that you really don't want to move on from, you might consider only going with two. Now, the thing about this is if Chad Kelly wins the job, what does that mean? If Paxton Lynch wins the job, that's probably what's expected. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. And again, you ran a poll, which was a lot of fun, at Mace Denver.
It's still up, by
it's
the way.
It's still
on
up.
Mace,
you can check that out. But yeah, asking who do you think's going to win it? I mean, it's like 80% Chad Kelly.
We got a fan saying, "Watch Chad Kelly during his Ole Miss tenure. Hey, he's going to be tough for Paxton to beat."
He actually is going to be tough for Paxton, and I sincerely believe that.
Yeah, you want a good competition because you know you're hoping that pressure yields a diamond.
Yes.
Out of that.
But right now, no question, the Broncos said Case Keenum's a starter. They've reaffirmed that by this draft, and there's no quarterback competition or controversy this year except for a backup, and even then, that's not going to dominate the headlines. Mm-hmm. It's going to be something that quietly happens, and we'll figure it out. But I think they keep three, but there's just a moment of, well, it's possible that they see enough from Chad Kelly and they say that's our guy.
And Chad Kelly has come back to this building for off-season work in shape. He's lost the weight that he was carrying last year. And I think the light bulb appears to have gone on for Chad Kelly over the last year or so since the Broncos took him. And I'm fascinated to see him. Look, I've told you this and I've mentioned it on air. If not for the off-field stuff and the injuries that he had coming out of Mississippi, Chad Kelly could have been a day two pick. I thought he was a round two caliber guy. Has good feel for the pass rush. Love the way he keeps his eyes downfield. Now as a seventh round pick, look, you can't go in expecting him to be the guy. It can't be your primary plan, but if he develops, it's a nice bonus and all that. And hopefully for the Broncos, Paxton Lynch can continue growing and build off a start that had some promising moments in Week 17, and Chad Kelly can show a spark as well. If you've got to make a tough choice between two guys playing well behind Case Keenum, that's a good problem to have.
Agreed.
All right.
Said.
Ryan, appreciate it. I think we're all talked out. I know I am.
Yes.
Tea and honey sounds great at this point. For Ryan Edwards, I'm Andrew Mason. Thanks for joining us on the Horse and Round podcast, and thanks to all of you who joined us on Periscope. We'll talk to you next time, and join us every weekday, Monday through Friday, 10 to 1 on Orange and Blue 760, 1st and 10, Ryan, me, and the great Ring of Famer who announced the number 40 overall pick, Steve Atwater, patron saint of Broncos country. Join us every weekday. We'll talk to you then. Plenty of stuff about the draft, the aftermath, and what's next. Thank you.
Thanks.